Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com. You can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville on iTunes and Course Sports, the very best in women's athletic wear. Our next guest has won two Ironman triathlons, one Ironman 70.3, and she just won the classic Wildflower triathlon. Liz Lyles joins us. Liz, how are you?
Hi, Bob. I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful. First of all, congratulations on a huge win. Talk a little bit about your background before we get into the race. I was reading where your first triathlon was down here in San Diego at the Spring Sprint, wearing a surfing wetsuit and mountain bike with no clip-in pedals, and you end up winning your division.
Yeah, it was Rick Kozlowski's event.
Yeah.
Spinning together at 24 Hour Fitness, and he was kind of like, you know, you should come out and try one of my events. And I didn't really, I don't know, I just was kind of like, okay, I had been running half marathons and that sort of thing. But yeah, I went out and tried that and did not have any equipment, the proper gear, any training for that matter. And yeah, that was kind of
you win your division. It's sort of like it's sort of like a special moment. So, did you have a swim, bike, or run background growing up?
No, so I swam, you know, starting at age 5 on like a competitive swim team, and a little bit in high school. But I kind of was more into soccer and running. So that's kind of where I got the running background and swimming and biking. I would ride my bike up and down the street. But
now, where'd you grow up?
In the Bay Area.
Okay, and so did you swim and run through high school, or just sort of sporadically?
Just, I was big into soccer. We, like, won the state championship game, and so I was big into soccer.
Which is a great proving ground for runners.
Right, it is. Yeah.
So, out of high school and then in college, did you play soccer as well?
No, so I went to college. I was hoping to play in college, and I went to UCLA, you know, and tried out for their team, and it was just kind of cut on the last day. So devastated, so I kind of just took a major break from sports at that point.
Yeah, and just focused on college.
Yeah, focused on all the things in college that you can't ever get back.
And after college, were you on a career path, or what was happening?
Yeah, so then after college, I went right to work at AT&T, and I worked there for 8 years and just kind of, you know, traveled with my husband. We got married, and we traveled, and
yep.
We went to everyone else's weddings and kind of just lived that 20s lifestyle, bought a house in San Diego. Actually, I remember meeting you way back then, because the second or third triathlon I did was, we wanted to support the Challenged Athletes Foundation, so we raised a bunch of money, and then we did that one just for fun.
San Diego Triathlon Challenge.
Yeah, so that we were a part of that.
Love that.
Yeah, and then.
So you're doing that. So basically, triathlon is sort of a recreational thing. You're taking spin classes. You go out to Kaz's race, and after you win the age group there, do you start thinking, maybe I should do a little more of this?
Yeah, I was thinking for sure, but it was never on like a level where I'm
going to go pro and go make money.
Yeah. So I had another job, and so then I did Ironman Oceanside, which was a Kona qualifier. And I just didn't really know how to train. I knew nothing about like training and you know, tapering.
Yeah.
There's so much to it, nutrition. I had no idea about any of that. And so I ended up winning my age group there. And I was like, should I go to Kona? Like, should I do this? And, you know, a friend had told my parents, like, she needs to go to Kona and you guys need to go watch her. It's a big deal.
So did you know that was a big deal before?
Not really at the time.
and when you went over there for the first time, what year are we talking about?
I think that was 2003.
Wow. And how did you do as an age grouper?
I did fine. I did fine. I think I finished in 11 hours or something.
Yeah. Now, when you came back from that, did you feel like, okay, that was my bucket list. I did the Ironman thing. Now, you know, and at this point, no kids yet.
No kids, yeah. So we were busy with just, you know, I worked full time.
Yeah.
And it, you know, the weekends were busy just with, like, social activities and that sort of thing. And so, no, I didn't really think about it until, I guess, my husband and I wanted to do an Ironman together.
Yeah.
So we moved up here to Reno, and the Donner Lake Triathlon is, like, a long-standing event.
Yes,
it
is.
We do that for fun, and, you know, there were some great girls that used to do that. And so my husband and I wanted to do an Ironman together. We did Coeur d'Alene, and I happened to win my age group there.
I happened to win my age group there. So when you look back at the type of training you were doing then to go and win something like the age group at Coeur d'Alene, you just shake your head and go, how did I even do that?
Yeah. It is, yeah.
So that,
had I had the training, I could have done
yeah.
so much more. And actually, coincidentally, the winner of Coeur d'Alene for the age group champion was Heather
Wertel. Yeah.
So I was like,
oh, my God.
I remember her, and I was like, there's my competition. And, oh, my God, she's so tall. I'll never be as good as her.
She's tall, means her leg length is longer, and she can run faster. So did you go yeah. back to Kona then after winning your division there?
So then, yeah, I went back to Kona then. And
still age group.
Did better, still age group.
Yeah. So what was the moment when you decided you're going pro? Because when I look back and I see, you know, you did, you know, 70.3 Boulder in 2012 as your first pro race, finished fourth. And, what, a month later, you win Ironman Wisconsin? I mean, like, by the time you went pro, you were ready to go pro.
Yeah, I think I had finally, like, gotten a coach, you know, a local coach here in town, and was following, like, a training regimen. And just, I think I was just ready to, thinking I would regret it if I didn't try. And I thought I was going to suck. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, well, at least I tried, and that was really cool. And, you know, it was definitely intimidating, though, to turn pro, like, and then put myself in a field next to, like, pro women. Like, it was
exactly.
definitely the most intimidating thing that I had to get over.
And at that point, 2012, you're a mom.
Right.
And most of the gals who are out there are not moms.
Right.
So you're balancing, you know, getting your kids fed, getting them off to school, all that type of stuff,
mm-hmm.
as well as doing the training. Which, to a certain degree, makes you a little more efficient, right, with your time?
It does. I'm very efficient. I've, you know, given up staying up past 9 and,
yeah.
you know, watching, getting hooked on, like, shows that are, you know, I would never stay up till 10 to watch, like, something on TV or, and, yeah, waking up early to train and kind of working around the kids' schedule first. And then I kind of
yeah.
do what I can when I can. It's like, if I can get something done,
you'll
now
do it.
I'm going to do it.
So you take fourth at Boulder 70.3, then you win Wisconsin. Now when you win Wisconsin, when you win, you know, one of the, you know, major races in the U.S., you've got to be thinking that this was the right decision. Did it
yeah.
did you surprise yourself when you won that?
Definitely, I did. Yeah, I was definitely surprised. But I was thinking, like, I don't regret it. I'm so happy the path I chose, because I don't know if I would have been successful had I done it earlier.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, you always think, like, what if I had done this, you know, 8 years ago, where would I be?
And you could be burned out.
Right, exactly, or hurt,
yeah.
or whatever. So the timing just for right now, for the nature of the sport and the 5 to 8 years, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to go hard and, you know, not have any regrets.
Well, on the other side of it is, you know, we both know it's not a huge way to make a living. And
yeah.
and the fact that you've got real jobs, you've had real jobs, that you don't have to depend on the prize money from Ironman Wisconsin to pay your mortgage.
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
that was the fact, yeah. I mean, I don't think we would be where we're at had I not, you know, worked however
right.
many years and kind of did that whole thing and then went on maternity leave and then retired after 8 years. So, yeah, we definitely wouldn't be where we are had we chose a different path. So I couldn't be,
yeah,
you know, happier.
So, okay, so 2012, you end up doing another Ironman Cozumel, your 10th there, Ironman 70.3 Austin, your 4th. So 2012, great kickoff season. And then rolling right into 13, you do Alcatraz and Ironman 70.3 Texas and third in Wildflower. Was that your first time doing Wildflower?
Mm-hmm. That was the first time.
And what did you think when you first did it? Because that was 2013. That was before the whole thing with the water.
Yeah, so that was the regular swim.
The regular course, yeah.
Start. I just thought it was so hard, but the atmosphere of, like, the camping, and I had heard about it for several years. You know, everyone kind of hears about Wildflower. But until you're there and experiencing it, you really don't realize how special of an event it is. So it was hard and challenging, but I was happy.
You think? And then you follow that up, and when you do a tough race like that, and you follow up by winning Boise, right? And then later, you end up winning Western Australia. That's all. Uh-huh. And going sub 9 hours. When you start going sub 9 hours, then you know you're one of the elites.
Thank you. Yeah, I think honestly, it's a sport where it just takes, you know, year after year. But most of the girls who kind of even explode onto the Ironman scene have been doing triathlons or some form of endurance.
Right.
You know, it definitely takes year after year, and I think I'm just hopefully on an upward
yes.
path.
So was 2013 the first year you raced Kona as a pro?
No, so I qualified
in 2012.
So 2013.
Was the first time as a pro.
Was the first time, yeah. Because I had gone to Frankfurt and gotten fifth and
right.
had gotten enough points with Wisconsin.
So. Yeah, and so you end up, so really you did three, you did Frankfurt, besides Wildflower, which I think is more like a three-quarter Ironman. You did Frankfurt, Tahoe, Western Australia, and Kona?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? All that? So you're a knucklehead. You did four Ironman in 1 year.
Yeah.
Now, did you have to do all three, just get enough points to get to Kona?
No, because I had Wisconsin from the year before, which was a qualifier,
right.
And then I did Frankfurt.
Yep, and fifth
there,
yeah.
And then I was fine, but Tahoe wasn't a qualifier for that year. It was for the next year.
Mm.
And so I wanted to do it just because I live here and I didn't want to, I wasn't exactly thinking, I'm going to go to Kona and my first year there and, you know, do something big. I kind of wanted more experience.
Yes.
So I went to Kona thinking I'm going there to get experience for the next few years.
And when you did race it as a pro, how was it different racing as a pro than as an amateur? Was there more pressure? Less pressure?
You know, it's way more pressure. Because I didn't, as an age grouper, nobody knew you know, who I was or looked at my times or kind of, you were just like, wow, you did an Ironman. Like, that's impressive. That's awesome. But it wasn't kind of under the scrutiny of the pros these days.
Yeah,
different gig. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get 16th there, and did that surprise you to be top 20 among, you know, again, the best people in the world? Because you don't get to Kona unless you're one of the elites.
Yeah, no, that did. It surprised me, but I knew I could be in there.
Yeah. And what did you learn about yourself from that one? Or what did you learn about what you needed to do for the next year in Kona?
Get a heck of a lot faster on the bike.
Yes. Yeah.
So learning how to push myself harder on the bike has kind of been the goal since I started. That I'm realizing, like, how hard can I push on the bike and still run good?
Right.
So.
And you train with Cliff English, mm-hmm. who also coaches Rachel McBride, who also coaches Heather Jackson. So he had a pretty good day at Wildflower.
Yes.
Yeah. So in terms of how he has helped you on the bike, what has he done to change the way you ride the bike? Because obviously you're riding really well.
Yeah, so I think the changes I made after, I don't know, after Kona to, then I went to Australia and did really well.
Yeah.
So I switched bikes, which I don't know how much that matters, but I got on a bike that fit me super well and felt super comfortable on, whereas before I had never actually, like, you know, been fitted on a bike and that sort of thing. So that definitely helped, and I just think getting in the miles, you know, month after month. Cliff has me doing, you know, some training for an Ironman, you know, maybe up to 14 hours on the bike.
Wow.
And it's just more like, you know, there's always a warm up and a cool down. So, and then, like, you know, a lot of intervals, you're short and high watts. I have a power meter now. So I'm definitely, like, more aware of exactly how hard I'm working.
And that makes a little bit of a difference.
Right.
Yeah. So you're rolling in 2014, and again, another great season with second at Wildflower, so you move up a spot. And then you go 856 in Frankfurt and take second. So now you're not, you know, you're following. It's one thing to have great races, but every one of the races you're having, the following year you're doing a little bit better. So, and that Cliff English is that type of coach. He's not looking for the immediate home run. It's like, hey, we've got to build base. We've got to do this over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you must be feeling good as you roll into Kona after your 856 and second at Lake Stevens. Take us through a little bit of the, you know, last year's Kona race where you were first American, seventh overall, and you know, that's a great day.
It was I was so happy to cross in seventh, even though, you know, some other girls may have been just, you know, disappointed that they were in, you know, sixth or eighth. Or
right.
I mean, I've never been so happy to be seventh ever in my life. I think it's a huge deal. Like, to be in the top 10 in Kona is something I never would have dreamed of.
No question. Especially coming from where you came from. And,
right.
And being a pro for just a couple years.
Right. Exactly. And I had, Tahoe, so I went up, you know, signed up for Tahoe.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
right.
It's like, well, why were you doing Tahoe and Kona if you're focusing on Kona? And it's one of those things where, I don't know. There's a whole other discussion. But I just think since Kona is so competitive and it's the best women in the world, I think they should pay like 20 deep. Like, that's just my opinion.
I agree.
Because 10 deep is like, there's more than 10 Ironmans that any girl could go win that pays more money than getting like 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th in Kona.
Yep. And the hard part is, no matter what you do, it's not cheap to go to Kona.
Right.
Hotel, air, food, everything. So it's and especially if you go there to try to acclimatize and you go for a couple of weeks, that, you know, trying to come away breaking even is really a trick sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And with my kid, like flying the kids over, I mean, the tickets just add up and, yeah.
Now, have you, every time you've gone to Kona, have you brought the kids?
Yes. So the last 2 years we have brought the kids.
And how has that been?
It's good. So my parents and then my husband Chip's parents have come to help with the kids just before the race. And then like right after the race when I'm like hobbling over, it's like, okay, here are the kids.
They're all yours now.
Yeah, they're all yours.
Nice.
We're going. We're leaving.
Yeah,
we're going to another hotel.
Exactly. They've driven us crazy for a couple of days. But
So they like it. We're definitely excited last year, and it was a huge celebration.
That is so cool. So how did that change things for you when you get seventh in Kona? Because that's, again, that's putting your, that's making a mark on the sport when you finish top 10 in that race.
How did it change things in what way?
And sponsorship, recognition, that type of thing. Or did it?
Yeah, no, it didn't. I mean, I think it reaffirmed with the sponsors that I already had, like, hey, like, you didn't just, like, your products are helping me, and I want to support you, and so it definitely gave me, like, that credibility. I felt, you always feel like you want to be able to give your sponsors.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it definitely made it, you know, I felt like I had more credibility in terms of saying, hey, I love your product, can we work this out, or that,
Yeah, so it gives you credibility. So this year, coming to Wildflower, being third, been second, when you're down there in Arizona training with Cliff, and I'm assuming that you did some training with Heather and with Rachel, what did you learn from your second place last year that helped you this year? Because last year was the first year where it became a swim, run, bike run type of event where you swam and then you had to, because of the water of the lake, you had to do a 2.5 mile run, tough run. That ramp is the longest ramp in the world.
Oh,
isn't that unbelievable? It's like climbing Mount Vesuvius. And then then you do your 56 mile bike ride, which is brutal. And then you do 11 mile run. So when you're out there doing that race, and it's one of those races that you really don't know where anybody is, right?
Right.
You're a big loop around the lake. There's, now that you don't have the down and up on that run, you really don't know where you are unless you've got somebody on the side of the road. When you got on the run, did you know how far back you were at that point?
Yeah, I did. So my husband was just standing on the side of the road, and he said, you know, you're 3.5 minutes down.
Right.
And I was like, from who? Like, I knew it was Heather, but I didn't know necessarily who was leading between Rachel and Heather.
Right, because they'd gone back and forth on the bike.
Yeah, so it was questionable.
Well, it's interesting, from talking to Heather, she says, I'm running along, and she was pretty much consigned to second place, or resigned to second place, and because Rachel was up ahead, and then all of a sudden, Rachel started coming back to her. And then she catches Rachel, and the guy on a bike was like, hey, you know, she's coming, and she thought it was Rachel. And she was totally surprised that, you know, that you were coming. Did you know where people were, and when did you start seeing Rachel and Heather?
So I didn't know. I thought they were, you know, I did not get any splits after
your husband
told
me
right at the, like, when you
start
leave
of the
transition.
Run. Oh, so you're running blind.
So, and one girl at an aid station was like, you're a minute and five down. And I was like, okay, she probably doesn't, like, track trail on that much and doesn't know, because there's no way I'm a minute five down.
Yeah.
Then the next aid station, someone said, you're 2 minutes off the lead. So now, like, putting it together, I bet it was Rachel that was 2 minutes up and Heather that was, like, a minute five up.
Yes, yeah.
And that was kind of the section where it started. We're up in the camp, and you go around a big loop. You can't see anything. You're, like, in the trees. And then
right.
I pop out of the trees, and there I see Rachel, and Heather's, like, 20 yards behind her. And I'm
oh,
like,
so you
oh
see them
gosh.
Both.
Yeah. So I saw Heather pass Rachel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it is on.
That is so cool when all of a sudden you can see it. And so you're at about 9 or 10 at this? It must be past 9. It must be like mile 10 or something.
Yeah. So they mark the thing. They mark the miles though at Wildflower. So they already give you credit for
the first
running
two.
The
yeah.
first two. So the mile marker actually said 11.
Gotcha.
And so we had to get to 13.
Right.
When really it was only, you know.
9.
So I think Rachel thought that this, like, when we got to 10, she just had to get to 11. I don't know for
yes.
sure if that's it, but mentally it might have been like, wait, we have 2 more miles to go, and she kind of just had been working so hard, kind of fell apart.
But you knew.
I knew the exact course, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew exactly where we were.
So you caught Rachel first.
So, yeah, I see them, and I'm kind of just, like, I knew it was on. Like, the three of us were just, like, in a row on that, like, kind of going uphill, and I got behind Rachel and made sure I was steady and running good and having my nutrition, like, up until the last, you know, mile. And I patted her on the back and just said, come on, Rach, and passed her. And Heather, because I kept looking, like after I passed Rachel, I looked back and was like, is Rachel coming with me? No, she's not. But I'm surprised Heather, like, doesn't ever look back. Like,
yes.
She never looked back. And so that was kind of surprising me. Like, does she know I'm here? Like, had she looked back, would she have
made
it
a
up?
I don't think she had much left. I don't think she would have. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of times they tell runners, don't look back. Because if you look back, it's giving them strength knowing that you're concerned about them.
Yeah, okay, well, I failed at that.
Because you want to look back, see where they're at, which makes sense, right?
Well, I wanted to know, okay, is Rachel going to come? And then
I
need to zero in on Heather.
Yes.
So we're, like, going up the last little hill, and there's an aid station, and she got, I don't know if she got water, and I grabbed the water and kind of made up time on that, and got super close. We turned the last right-hand corner to go down the final hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was,
now did you?
She hauled ass down that hill.
She did, so she took off down the hill.
Yeah, I was literally, like, running, we could not have been running any faster, like, if we had tried. I mean, we were full on just the downhill.
Now, were you side by side, or were you behind her?
No, I was, like, 20 feet back.
Yeah, that's the best.
But she never looked or knew, I guess, it was me. So that was funny.
Well, it's funny, because I think she thought it was Rachel. That was the impression I got when she said, the person said, yeah, she's coming. He's like, oh, okay. Maybe a little help. Maybe it's a different person, by the way.
I know, because, I mean, Rachel's, you know, tall and wearing red, and I'm small and wearing white. I would think he would have
said, hey, it's a different person, and she's, you know, she's up right there. That is funny. So as you're coming down, I mean, was there a point where you thought, this is all I got, I'm done?
No, I just kind of was preparing myself, honestly, I thought we were going to be, like, neck and neck throwing elbows to the finish line.
Yeah, against a hockey player who knows how to take people to the boards. That's probably not a good thing for you.
Yeah, probably not. So I was mentally preparing for it to go, down to like the finish line.
Now, part of the cool thing about that race, and I just thought with all the racing that was happening this weekend, there was nothing better than that, because you've got, you know, you've got a battle, right? Was that the first race like that that you've had where it was basically came down to the last couple hundred yards?
Yeah, for first place. I mean, yeah. I've had a couple where I've not been in
right
chance for first and second. But yeah, for first and second, I'm thinking this is like so cool. It's so good for like the women's aspect
absolutely
of the sport.
Yep.
We're neck and neck. You know, it's been such a grueling day, and it's coming down to this. And yeah, I was totally thinking that it was just going to be an awesome moment,
yeah,
kind of, no matter what happened.
Exactly. So when you get to the shoot, you know, that final shoot into the finish, is that when you passed, or when did you make your final move to get in the first?
Well, it flattens out, and yeah, I kind of caught up to her and was like kind of right behind her. Then I kind of pulled up next to her just when it jets to the left before we
yes
turned down on the carpet on the chute. And I think then she like realized it was me and might have just been like, oh,
I can't run with her.
It might have deflated her. Yeah,
I don't,
because she might have just been like, I don't think I can. She looks pretty fresh right now. So
yeah,
I kicked it into another gear and again turned over my left shoulder. And
yeah,
she wasn't coming, but I wasn't going to high five or celebrate because she. What if she was just pretending?
Yeah, playing possum.
Yeah.
We just all saw the steeplechase guy on YouTube, right? Did you see that guy?
No,
there was a college steeplechase thing, and the guy comes out of the pit. He's got a big lead. He's, like, waving, and he gets passed in the last 5 feet. Yeah, check it out on YouTube. It's pretty freaking
okay
funny.
Yeah.
So there's no way you're slowing, because really, at the finish, it was interesting being down there, because we had just had Jesse Thomas win his fifth in a row. And so everybody's, again, we were as blind as you were in terms of who's leading. We heard that Rachel McBride, we heard Heather, your name really never came up. And then all of a sudden, here's, you know, we're thinking, okay, Heather Jackson's going to win her fourth, and oh, hey, no, she's not. And it was almost like it got a little quiet there for a second because people were surprised. And wait, who's this? Somebody, is this Rosie Ruiz? Did someone just jump on the course? What's going on here? Could you feel that the crowd was almost a little deflated, expecting this four-time champion, and then here's Liz?
Right, and I felt like maybe what are people like looking around at each other's eyes, like, oh my God, what do we do? Like
what,
it's not Heather. Like,
yes. How do we react to this? We haven't seen this in four years.
Yeah.
That is so funny. So you win the race, and because of the way you won the race, obviously you won Wisconsin, you've won other big races. How do you rank this in terms of your wins?
Oh, it's up there.
Yeah.
Definitely was pretty awesome. I mean, there's nothing like winning, you know, saying that I've won Wildflower, which is such an iconic race. And
getting on the stairs.
Everything that goes along with it. The stairs.
Yes.
You know, I was like looking where, okay, there's a spot. And it's so neat that I'll be able to have that there forever, and it'll be a place I can like
bring your
hopefully
kids.
Have my kids do their triathlon, and it's just so neat.
Yeah, that was really special. So when you talked to Heather afterwards, did you guys have a conversation?
No, not right. She was in the medical tent,
yes,
so I actually didn't see her
till
we were like eating
yeah
in the food area a
yeah
couple hours later, and we talked, and she was very congratulatory, and we kind of just talked about how that went down and stuff, and it's all good. Yeah, we trained together. She kicks my ass on
yeah
Cliff's bike rides. She pushes me, you know, to be better, and she's amazing. So
it's interesting, because one of the things that you know, in the world of running, America had fallen off the edge of the earth because we'd gotten away from training groups. People were training on their own, and you really can't push yourself like you can when you have somebody else pushing you.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, you and Rachel and Heather need each other to become better than Marinda Carfrae and the other gals out there. And, you know, some days you're going to win, and some days one of your training partners might win.
Right.
But it's sort of a deal that you don't have much of an option, right?
Yeah. No, we, you know, and our coach does such a good job of kind of differentiating. I just don't know how he does it, you
yeah
know? Like going into Rebecca Wassner, he
yes
coaches too.
Yeah.
So it's like going into the race, it's like, hey, yeah.
Our whole team is here. Hey.
Here's how you need to win, and then here's how you need to win, and here's how you need to win. And so I just find it great what coaches do.
Well, and the main thing is that obviously you guys understand that to get to the level you need to get to, you need each other.
Right.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you're going to have your best performance, and on that given day, someone might be a little better. What can you do? Mm-hmm. Yep. So what's the rest of your season look like?
So, next up, I haven't, like, formally announced it, but this maybe is my formal
Perfect.
Announcement, is I'm going to Ironman Brazil at the end of May.
Oh, good idea. I've heard wonderful things about that race.
Yeah. So, I was going to go the, like, Coeur d'Alene route, but I'm just feeling like the weather here in Reno has actually been surprisingly good for training, not good for our snowpack, but...
Yeah.
I've been biking outdoors a lot, and I'm just feeling ready. And just the championship races, you know, once you've been to Kona and you've felt, like, that excitement, it's just, like, the big races, like, for some reason excite me more.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'd like to give a championship race a try, and then I'm going to do Whistler in July.
Wow, so you're going to do another, you'll do two Ironman races before Kona.
Right.
Wow. Too much or no?
I don't think. I mean, I did last year. I did Frankfurt,
right?
And then I was gonna do Tahoe, but it was canceled. But then that ended up working out good. So I don't. I mean, I'm not gonna probably do a lot of halves or any other travel or anything. But
yeah, so
I don't think it affects.
It works for you.
It works for me, and yeah,
love it. And
again, if they were to, like, raise the Kona money, like, to the top 20, not saying I'm not going to get, I want to get in the top five, that's my goal this year, but I need to look at it as, like,
it's a business.
A job, too.
It is a job, too. Yeah, and what is it about Reno? There's not a huge contingent training up there.
No, there's some good cyclists up here. We just like being in Nevada, the tax benefits, and... You know, I can bike to Lake Tahoe in like an hour and 20 minutes, drive to the ski resort with the kids. It's like a 20-minute drive. So
it's perfect.
It's nice. We have trails, you know, all over the place. And the altitude, we live at 5,500 feet. So training here is every single day is tough. And then going down to like Wildflower, you know, it's pushing up those hills is, not easy, but it's a whole heck of a lot easier.
Well, the thing is, you're at altitude, too, right? Isn't there a little altitude up there? Yeah, it makes a difference. So when I look at Kona from last year with the hour swim and 5:10 bike and 3:03 marathon, you know, you're about, 17 minutes down to the lead, like to Rennie. But a lot of that is the run, which is a strength of yours. So, you know, your 3:03 is probably a little soft for you, right? I mean, you're probably someone who can run 10 minutes faster than that, if not faster.
Yeah, I'm learning. I mean, I think it's just a continual progression of, you know, I pushed it harder on the bike, and that's the first half of the run I was wanting to, like, quit and drop out. I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I need to actually focus on the bike and then still having, you know, a 3-hour or under run.
Yes, and you'll be right there. And then that hour swim, that could come down a little bit, too.
Yes, but it was choppy. And
yes, it was.
Just kidding. I was happy with the pack I was in. Our whole pack could have been faster, but at least...
You were with the right people.
I was with a group that, it makes or breaks kind of the whole day.
Love that. Well, Liz, congratulations on it. Oh, no, wait, I saw something. What Christmas present do you give to your sister every year?
I give her my big toenail that falls off every year.
You wrap it up. You take the toenail off. You wrap it up.
Uh-huh.
Nail polish on it or no nail polish?
Yep, it's painted.
It's painted, and you wrap it up with a bow and the whole thing.
Yeah, well, because she doesn't have her big toenail other issues. She was a swimmer. I don't know. So when mine falls off, we put it in like a little Tiffany's box. And she was like... thinking she was getting some necklace, and it was my toenail. And so she still has it.
Is that something you do every year?
Well, pretty. I mean, it's become,
it's sort of a tradition. Now. So she's obviously not giving you anything nice either.
No.
I love that. Liz, thanks so much for taking so much time. Really, really nice to get to know you over the phone.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And one of you'll have to come back with the family to our CAF event, the San Diego Triathlon Challenge, one of these years.
I know. What month is it?
It's a week after Ironman. It's a perfect timing, right?
Yeah, perfect.
It's perfect when you don't have to come down and actually just sort of hang out and have drinks with umbrellas in it and, you know, hang out with challenged athletes.
Yeah, that'd be fun. It was an awesome event.
Love it. Liz Lyles has been our guest again. We are brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, Babbittville. Check out all of our interviews on iTunes and Core Sports, the very best in women's athletic wear. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.